We're learning how to drink wine and eat bread together. Bread and wine, the two witnesses that are bringing forth the manifestation of Jesus Christ in you. Yes, Jesus will appear on the planet. But long before that happens, He's going to appear in His fullness in you. Because there's going to be a forerunner to prepare the way for Him to appear on the planet. Well, amen. And so we're learning how to eat roasted lamb like a bunch of natural Jews. Sit down to a barbecue lamb dinner and get healed and delivered and set free. Put some blood on the doorpost and get delivered from death. Learning how to eat bread and the wine and drink living water. We're making sure our water isn't full of toxins. We're getting our water from the rock, the purification system of the Spirit. No toxins in the water we're drinking. No frogs in the river. We're drinking out of a pure river. Clear as crystal. It's invisible. You can't see it unless you have spiritual eyes. So we're learning how to eat roasted lamb, all the lamb too. Not just your favorite preacher part. Well, I'm real big on lamb chops. Don't be bringing no leg of lamb around here. We fellowship just with lamb chop people. In fact, the name of our denomination is Lamb Chop International. And if you don't belong to Lamb Chop, you don't stand a chance, because we know that we are better off than the leg of lamb folk. Yet Jesus said, by the Spirit of God or the Lord Christ, eat all the lamb. That's been part of a problem. We eat the lamb chops, but don't be putting no leg of lamb on my plate. Because I'm not real crazy about that. But what about the lamb's heart? We need to eat the lamb's heart. And his mind. How about his mind? We need to eat the mind, the brain of the lamb. We need to eat his innards, his kidneys and the liver and all of that. Not just our favorite part. He told them over in Exodus. We're going to go there now. Exodus, please, if you got your book. You want to turn with me. But we've been teaching the last time or two we've been in this area. We've been teaching on the roasted lamb and the bread and the wine and the living water. And he said, I want you to eat all the lamb. He said, also what I want you to do, he says, I want you to roast it with fire. A lot of the church, they try to serve lamb, the part they're serving, and they serve it raw. And nobody likes raw lamb. People like their lamb cooked by the fire of God's Spirit. And somebody said, amen.
Amen.
And hopefully tonight, if not tonight, maybe tomorrow night, we will finally work our way over into the New Testament concerning some things about the body and the blood and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've done some, he's done some through us about teaching on the Passover feast and feeding on the bread from heaven. He said, and here's the words of Jesus, now it's in your Bible. He said, you eat this bread, you'll never die. Yet the graveyard's full of Christians. So that tells you something, somebody not eating the right kind of bread. You'll find out in Scripture that Israel, natural Israel, they loathed the light bread. Next thing that happens because they didn't like God's bread, they had a backyard full of snakes. That's why some people are so busy fighting the devil. They're on the wrong kind of diet. I submit to you, eat the manna from heaven, you won't have no snake problems. Well, amen. Well, it's the truth. You know, a lot of the church, they know more what the devil's doing than what Jesus is doing. They even got names for all the devils now. Listen to me, please. Don't put me down. Shout me down now. They can name the devils over every city in the country. They got the devil over here, devil over there. They know everything the devil's trying to do, and the enemy, supposedly the kingdom of darkness, the power of darkness, all that. They don't have a clue what Jesus is doing. But if you get in the realm where Jesus is at, there ain't no devils in there. Devils do not associate in the Holy of Holies in the throne room. There's a big sign over the door. No devils allowed. Are you with me? Still, I'm messing with you a little bit, but you need to understand. I know there's warfare. But I submit to you, if you're going to be involved in warfare, and go to the conference and the seminar for 3 days or 5 days and buy the $65 set of 12 tapes or whatever it's going to be, if you're going to do all that, and if the 6-tape series don't work, get the 12 tape. If that don't work, there's a 24 tape or 32 tape. First start at 3 days, now we're going to 5 days, seminars on warfare. I know there's warfare, and I'm not putting anybody down in that realm. What I'm saying is this: stay on the throne if you're going to do it. Don't jump off in the dirt realm in the middle of the ballpark with the enemy. You get down in the dust realm with him, he's going to eat your lunchbox, steal your lunchbox, and eat all your lunch, however you can understand it. Stay on the throne. Sure, there's some opposition. Stay on the throne. Chapter 12 of Exodus. Well, brother, do you believe in the devil? No, I don't believe in him. I believe in God. See, I know there is a devil, but I don't believe in him, James. I believe in God because the Lord told me, he said, son, whatever you believe in has authority and power in your life. So I don't believe in him. I believe in God. Because your belief structure rules your life. You're being ruled right now, whether you understand it or not, consciously and subconsciously, if I can use those terms, whether you understand it, believe it, or comprehend it or not, by your belief structure. Absolutely rules you. Creates your vision for you. Your vision will dictate what you're seeing. And that's supposed to produce hope, unless it's the wrong kind of vision. And hope is what keeps you running the race. So do you believe in the devil? No, I don't believe in him. I believe in God. And he's the only one I receive anything from. I made my mind up several years ago when that revelation came. He spoke to my wife and I, and he said, the only hand I want you to receive from is mine. If it's not from me, don't accept it. So anything that comes into my life, now this is not braggadocious. I'm just being bold with you. This is not an ego thing. Anything that comes into my life has come through my Father. If it hasn't come through Him, then it don't make it through the gate. Are you still with me? It's a revelation of the Christ that everything I receive comes from my Father. I believe in God. How about you? Because what you believe in has authority and dominion and rulership over you. See, I'm trying to convince the church in the portion or my part that God's got me in, quit giving the enemy authority in your life when he has none. Well, brother, don't you know the devil's got his kingdom? Really? I didn't know he had one. He can't have one because Daniel said there's only one kingdom. And it's ever increasing. There's no end to this kingdom. And Jesus said, all authority and power is mine. So evidently, somebody's been lying to us about this other kingdom. I'm going up to the high place, going to tear the devil's kingdom down? Listen, I know about the song, and I'm not putting nobody down. I mean, you know, I know when you're in the first grade or second grade, third grade, fifth grade, it's progressive. So we're not putting anything down. You know, if you get a little older, you think, well, yeah, we used to do that, but not anymore. And so if that's what it takes to get people's attention and explain things to them or whatever, fine. But folks, the devil don't have no kingdom. I challenge you to look in your Bible and find that and show it to me. I want to see it. That holy book you carry around. The truth about the truth. The devil don't have no kingdom. There's only one kingdom. And if the cross didn't tear it down, what you going to do? Praise the Lord. See, people are enemy conscious, and when you're enemy conscious, if you're not careful, you give those rascals authority in your life to operate, because what you believe in has authority in your life. Yeah. So I tell people, hey, it's not like here's Jesus and here's the devil. They're not on the same level. Here's Jesus. And way down there, because he's seated high above, all principalities and powers, high above. How high is that? High above. And there's not nothing going on that he's not in control of. If that's not true, then he's not God. And if he's not God, we're wasting our time here tonight. That's right. But he is God. So everything of the anything of the enemy realm, or whatever, however terminology we can use, is on a leash, whether you believe it or not, because God's a sovereign God. See, I've tried to explain that to some sovereign preachers. They preach God's sovereign, or scholars, and they believe He's sovereign, but they don't believe He's that sovereign. I say, well, man, you're the one just standing on this as part of your foundation, preaching that He's a sovereign God. Well, if He's sovereign, that means He's in control of everything. Because if there's one thing He's not in control of, then He's not sovereign. I mean, that stands up in the court of law. And being a lawyer, an attorney in the kingdom of God, we know how to present the case legally. Amen. So we believe in God, don't we? Amen. And we're just not going to give other things authority in our life. No. Amen. The Christ in you, appearing in you. You know who your biggest problem is? Y'all got it. You got it. It's us. In the near future, you're going to find out that a lot of the religious folks are going to be your problem too. Jesus never had any problem with the enemy, the evil spirits. Most of his problem came from the... Thank you. James, that was good, brother. Thank you. I'll be sure and put your name... I'm going to put your... You're flowing right along. I'm going to put your name and phone number at the end of this tape in case anybody's got any questions, they can just call you. But... He had problems with the religious crowd or the word people of the day. But the rest of the folks loved Jesus, didn't they? Chapter 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month Abib shall be unto you the beginning of months. That's when we're born again, as a matter of fact. This beginning, that's your first month when you come into Passover. That's when you're born again, isn't that right? When the blood of the Lamb is applied. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month, there's personal judgment. In the 10th day of this month, 10 is like personal judgment. They shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Now you and I, we know the lamb's in the house right now. He's in the house. The lamb is in the house. He's inside you and I, the Lamb of God. Not only the lamb's in there, Brother Doug, but the lion's in there too. And the lion and the lamb, we're learning how they lay down together. Amen. And operate together inside of us. He said, according to the house of thy fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to the eating shall make your count for the lamb. Now right there, I want you to see something about the discerning of the body of Christ. Because eventually we're going to get over there and what Paul taught. And I really feel, I may be some preaching tonight, but I'm feeling a real gentle, easy teaching flow, and that's good. But see here, it says here, we're going to share the lamb. We're going to share the lamb. We're going to feed on the lamb together. In fact, what I really want to do, get ahead of myself, I guess, is I want to come over like this brother and his wife, and I want to feed on the lamb that's in you. I want to pull from the Lamb of God in you. I want to pull from the wine and the body, or the blood and the Son of God in you. That's what I want to feed off of. I want to feed off of the Christ that's in you. I want to partake of the table of the Lord that's in you. The body and the blood and the bread and the wine, I want to partake of that that's in you, because that table's in you, not out yonder somewhere. Inside of us, because Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. And you know the story. When he was preaching that, he was talking to the Pharisees, not the born-again believers in the first whatever church down the street. He looked at the Pharisees, who in all our understanding were not born again. This will deal with a certain theology. And he told these guys that were pretty much heathens. I know that's hard for some of us, but believe me, those brothers, oh my God, had drifted a long ways away from the original Word of God. They had themselves a denomination, and a big one. I'm not going to get off into church history with you. I'm just going to tell you this. It was pretty corrupted. You talk about Jesus coming at a dark time, it was dark. He looked at those guys and said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. That's where it's always been. It takes the Son of God to bring it forth in manifestation. Another way to say it is, he's going to light your candle. Are you still with us?
Yeah.
And he said, if the household, verse 4, be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day. 14 is the number of salvation and deliverance. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. So he wants the lamb without blemish. He wants the lamb without blemish. He wants the lamb without blemish. I submit to you that a whole lot of what the church is trying to eat, the lambs are blemished, Tom. They're eating blemished lamb. Oh, I know where he's going. At least I know part of where he's going. Some of you have heard some of this and some of you haven't. And if you heard it, you need to hear it again, because it'll be a deeper level and it'll be more truth in it as we hear it again. But the point is, see, here we've got a bunch of natural Jews. They're going to get saved from death by the blood of a natural animal. And most of the church, they eat a piece of bread and drink some grape juice, and they leave in worse shape than they came in. And so God's asked me or commissioned me to stand on this thing pretty strong in these last days, because the remnant people, the overcomers, those that are hungry for God, we're fixing to come into a realm of feeding on the Christ we never dreamed about. Because a lot of times in the body of Christ, we've got the reality. Old natural Israel, they had the type, a natural barnyard bat. We got the reality, the antitype. We don't have the shadow. We got the real McCoy, so to speak. And yet the church can't even get healed, delivered, set free. You know why? Something wrong. And I know it's not God. The main thing is the church in the United States and in most of the earth today does not have the revelation of the manifestation of feeding on the Christ in each other. I'm going to say it again. Yeah. Rightly discerning the Lord's body. Yeah. That's why they're cursed. Yeah. The last time I checked, the Christ is a corporate man.
Yes.
So he says this, your lamb shall be without blemish. Well, I know there's a lot of blemished lamb around now. They're trying to feed blemished lamb. A male of the first year. Well, I don't know if they're meeting the qualifications today or not. Most of the places they're not. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. People go in, they're going to have the table of the Lord or the Lord's Supper or whatever they call it. Once a month. First Sunday, last Sunday, whatever it is. Grape juice and a cracker. Communion does not make. That's just a religious exercise. Not a bit of life in it. At the best, it's a memorial. Because what we're doing here right now is communion. Common union. Because we're feeding on the Christ right now. See, the Christ is standing up in you, calling to the Christ in me, and the Christ is speaking, and you're having supper. You're having the Lord's Supper right now. That's what's happening. Now, if we want to have some grape juice or some wine and a cracker or a piece of matzo bread or whatever as a memorial to that of communion or the table of the Lord, now we've got the revelation of it. Now we can do that. But if all you got is grape juice and a cracker, you don't have much. About the most you got is grape juice and a cracker.
Okay.
I don't care how they do it. Even if they stand up there and break the bread, loaf of bread in half and pinch off pieces, and the elders get involved in it, and now the deacons are going to hand out a piece, and one thing, and we go through all that religious exercise, and still people leave is just as bad a shape or worse than when they came in. Because, you know, I tell you what, the truth is, I can handle the appearing of Christ in you. But these folks over here, I mean, you know, I can't handle it over here like that. I can handle it in a couple here, but that's the people over there. They remind me of them lamb chop people. We leg a lamb folk, you know. And I mean, I can handle a white Jesus, but I don't know if I can handle a black one or not. Now, I might be real religious, handle a white one and a black one, but I don't know if I could handle an oriental one. Y'all gone home now, haven't you? I'm meddling, I'm messing with you, right? I'm messing with you now. So yeah. Well, praise the Lord. See, that was the deal with the Pharisees. They didn't like the way Jesus was appearing. What? He's not coming through our order? I can hear him now. What the hell is this? I mean, I can handle him appearing in Tom, but appearing in, like, in James? I mean, this is one of the comings of the Lord, sitting right here in front of us. And see, what I have to discern is when I see him and see his wife and see the other people here, I don't see your faults. I don't see any, there's no condemnation. I'm not looking at your fault. All I see is the Christ. Now I'm discerning the body of Christ. Because since God has got all of your faults covered by the blood of the Lamb, he's not one bit nervous about your faults. Not one bit. He don't even see them. But see, if we're not careful, what we do is we get caught up in the Adam mind and we see all the bad. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil operating. That's why people are still dropping dead and they're carrying them up to the graveyard. Mm-hmm. Well, you still here? There is no condemnation. I don't mean just a little bit. I mean there's none. Zero. I don't care what you've done, what you did today, yesterday, what you're going to do tomorrow. Well, brother, you're just going to give people a license. No, you don't. People don't need a license. They don't need no license. Interesting enough, in Scripture, the devils would ask permission from Jesus. Christians won't even do that. That's the truth. You know that's the truth. Amen, it's the truth. See? So there's no condemnation because you're covered by the blood of the Lamb of God. See, you've been I'm getting ahead of myself. It seems like we're kind of hitting the high spots here, but you do realize you've been justified freely by the blood of Jesus. So I don't care what you did yesterday, tomorrow, next week, what you're going to do a month from now, or anything else. See, here's the point. Once you get away from this condemnation crap, that's not a good word to use, I guess, but it is dung, is what it is. When you get away from this condemnation mess and realize that you've been justified freely by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you get away from this condemnation thing, now you're allowing the Christ to appear in you, and it's not your works that are trying to change you. Now it's the Christ appearing in you that will deal with all the things that are antichrist. And that's the only way it works. It don't work no other way. There's no plan B, C, or D. It takes the Word and the Spirit, the two witnesses, appearing in you, working in you to bring forth the manifestation of the Christ. And there's nothing that the Word and the Spirit of God can't deal with in you because that's the fullness of life. And Paul preached it and said that life, immortality will swallow up mortality. And so you got a church that's full of condemnation and guilt and shame, and here we go, and one thing and another, and you didn't work up to you didn't live up to it today. Well, we love you as long as you meet the conditions. Conditional love and all that other mess and works problem. Well, you're not very busy. Were you at church Sunday? What are you doing? Where you been? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All of that mess is nothing but condemnation, and Jesus didn't preach it. And neither did the apostles. I challenge you to look in your own Bible. See what those brothers preached. Because of the blood of the Lamb, regardless, no matter what your problems are, when you are under that blood and you are free from condemnation, now you are allowing the work of Christ on the finished work of the cross, that truth, that revelation, to begin to manifest in you and deal with all the situations, whether it be spirit, soul, or body, in the temple. And it don't work no other way. The church has proven over the last couple of thousand years that works programs does not get the job done. People just get tired out. I tell you what you can do. You can take a mad dog, chain him up. He probably can't bite nobody. But if you unleash him, he's going to run out the street and bite somebody. Somebody got to tame the dog, James. And once you get the dog chained or tamed, you can throw the leash and the lock and all that stuff away because it's not even his nature then to bite nobody. All he wants to do is be a lap dog. See, we're talking about a nature thing, not a rules and regulations. You know, I can tell you, you better love your brothers and sisters. And I can make you do that, or tend to try to make you love them. I can whip you enough and put you down enough, and I can do it real religiously where you be trying to convince me that you love them. But the truth is, only Christ Jesus in you can love those brothers and sisters. Huh? I can't make you do it. Now, you can try to convince me through some legalistic program that you're loving everybody until somebody pushes that wrong button and suddenly that snake pulls up out of the grass and you wonder where that rascal come from. He come out of your backyard. That's where he come from. He been there all along. Amen. Yeah. So it's, the point is, like, it's we want a nature change. Not a rules and regulations. You know, it's not, for instance, is it in your nature to go out of here tonight and rob the convenience store? Well, no. No, it's not. Wonder why not? It's not in your nature to do it. You don't have to have, do we have to have a legalistic 1, 2, 3, 4 at the group? Now, I know after this meeting, James is liable to have an impulse to go out there and rob the store. So now look. You can't do it. I'm telling you, you cannot do it and give him the list of do's and don'ts to keep him from robbing the store. No, it's not his nature to do that. But now, not using James as an example, but is it anybody else's nature in here to maybe once in a while have an attitude problem?
Thank you. Amen.
Anybody ever had those situations, you know, where you just, you know, and you try to, and then through your legalistic works, you're going to press it down? Like that don't exist. Oh! And you're going to push it down and put on your smiley Jesus face. Hallelujah. Praise God, brother. There's those people. I saw them over there. Glory to God. You know, and you're doing all, you avoid them and everything else, and you're walking around. And that's that religious thing. Pushing it down. That's called a works program. You'll never get free of that thing like that. You better let it just come on and surface. Admit it. It's already been forgiven. You've been justified freely by the shed blood of Jesus. Just admit it like it is. And you know what? Then the appearing of Christ in you will deal with that, change your nature in that area, and it won't even be a desire for you to get upset with that person.
We won't have to
get the collar on him in the lock. Look out, here comes. He's going to bite somebody. We can throw it away. He won't need it. I ought to be using you for an example. I'm trying to show you some grace and mercy tonight, brother. You know. Amen. See, but as long as you're under condemnation, it holds back the appearing of Christ in you. That is your deliverance. Once you realize you are already free, then you let Christ. I'm telling you, I know this is hard for the church to grab a hold. God's not nervous about your situations. I'm sure you don't have, but maybe one or two. Maybe I should talk to Sid. God's not worried about your situation. Are you with me? God's not nervous. Hey, listen, folks. You know what I found out by reading the Bible? Sin has never been a problem with God. It's been a real problem with some preachers preaching against it, one thing and another. But sin and death has never been a problem with God. He took care of that before the foundation. It's never been a problem with him. And the point is, he knew you. And still does. So he knows all the situations. And here's what gets me. He's not one bit nervous. And he's not angry. He's not mad. He's not condemning. He's not putting no guilt trips, nothing to be ashamed of. He's saying, hey, just relax. I've already taken care of it. I'm appearing in you now. And I will, as you allow me to appear in you, I will change your nature and I'll deal with all those things that are antichrist. Relax. What's he saying? Enter into rest. That's what he's trying to tell us. Enter into rest, the finished work of the cross. Quit trying to do it yourself. Quit it. Quit it. Relax. Release, as they say, and let it go, man. Just kick back and go on vacation. Let God do what he's got to do. And he knows you're a mess sometimes. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, those things hold back the appearing of God. It holds back your change, your transformation, so that you can be move over into glorification. See, you're being transformed so you can be transfigured. If you don't allow it to happen, you hold it back by your own self-judgment. God was ministering to me here just recently. He says, "You love the brethren, don't you?" I said, "Oh yeah, I love them. I love the brethren." He said, "You forgive her?" "Yes." He said, I do. "Yes, I do. I forgive." And you know, we're talking, we're just communicating. And he's saying, he says, you wanna just love the brethren and love your wife and love your friends and all that. Yep. And you know what you need to really be sure? Now listen to me. Gotta hear this in the Spirit. You best start loving yourself. Boy, Jesus just spoke to some people in the room right there. You need to love yourself and quit this foolish like you love all the brethren, you da 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 da, and get up and get off of it and let it go. You need to love yourself so that Christ can work in you. I'm not talking about an ego pride trip. Good God. I'm talking about loving yourself because the Christ is in you and you've been justified freely by the blood of the Lamb of God that Jesus gave His life for you. You best love yourself. I don't care whether you're a mess or not. The mess don't matter. And that's what they need to preach downtown. The mess don't matter. What matters is the finished work of the Son of God on the cross, the blood of the Lamb, and any of the Sidney Smith and Judy Smith are a mess. It don't matter. I'm free. And I'm resting, Buddy Rowe. I'm resting. And I'm not going to allow no preacher to put me in condemnation and bondage. My Savior set me free. And now He's bringing fullness of redemption in my life. And that's the end of the story, buddy. And it'll preach it legalistic. I'm not talking about legalism, but I'm talking about legally in a courtroom. We can present the case and win the case every time. You know what happens a lot of the church? They go around and settle out of court. On the way to court, the adversary comes and says, "We're going to eat your lunch when we get you in there. You think you don't know what we're going to do to you when you get you in there. You better settle up now." And what they do is they give up their covenant rights before they get to the courtroom to their advocate. But if you just hold steady, when you get in the courtroom, the man I work for has never lost a case. And we'll take the brief that he wrote and destroy the adversary's case every single time. Don't settle out of court. Don't settle out of court. But you don't know what we did. I don't care what you did. Justice has been served. And the law, the demand of the law has been satisfied. That's good news for you. Justice has been served and the Word of God, the law, has been satisfied in the court of heaven. You're free. Well, brother, don't you think that's just going to see people to run out and do whatever they want? They do that anyway. The apostles preach this when you come into this revelation. It changes your attitude, your desires, your nature's change. You don't want to go out there and do all that mess. You want to serve the God that loves you so much and you love Him. That's right. Man, I'm desperately in love with Jesus. I just don't love Jesus. I'm desperately in love with Him. This don't make you want to go out and not do something. This makes you more in love with Him when you catch this revelation. It changes your inward nature to the Christ, the mind of Christ being formed in us. It's not our nature to go out and do these things. Who wants to? God Almighty. Hallelujah. So He said you'll keep it, verse 6, up until the 14th day of the same month. 14 again is the number of, in God's number system or neurology, is salvation and deliverance. That's important. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The evening and the morning were the first day with God. I don't like that sometimes. I wanted it to be the morning and the evening. That way I can see right off the get-go what's happening. But no, not with God. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God says, "Now, son, here's a new day. It's dark." Can't I see what's coming? What, my God? What? Oh, my God, I'm not in control. I'm not in control. God says, "It's okay, just relax. The entrance of my word giveth light." Yep. Oh, there'll be some pain in the change, but there'll be no fear. Because the entrance of my word giveth light, so you can see where I'm taking you. See, He loves to do that at night. That way He comes and makes a night deposit. Okay. Hallelujah. See, God's got an investment in you. And he's going to reap him a crop and a big harvest. I mean, think about how much he's got invested in you. Man, he's been working with you a long time, brother. Hey, I mean, he's expecting a return. After all, he's a pretty good Jew. I had to say that. Praise the Lord. I is one. All right, are you with me? So keep it up, and he knows how to make a deal. Come on down. Father knows best. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat. There you see the cross. And here they take the blood of a natural animal, a barnyard, bah. And when Jesus, or when the Lord Christ, when the destroyer comes and sees the blood, he says, I don't have to go to that house. There's already been a death there. I'll pass over that one. Listen, this is such revelation. And since I've been here last time, God's opened up more of it and more of it and more of it. And he's revealing it to us because I know he's going to show us how to feed on the Christ like we have never seen before. We're getting ready to hear the voice of the Son of God like we have never, ever heard it. It's going to transform us. So here they got the natural blood on the doorpost, and the destroyer comes, and the natural blood saves them from death. Now, they sit down, they eat the roasted lamb, they have a barbecue dinner, and the scripture says that when they left Egypt, there wasn't a feeble or a lame or infirm one amongst them. They sit down and eat a natural barbecue dinner and get healed and delivered. And take the blood from that barbecue dinner and put it on the doorpost a little, and the destroyer passes over them. Now catch this truth now. Listen. And here they are inside the house. The blood's on the doorpost. They're eating it. Notice this now. The destroyer comes, and he sees the blood, and he passes over. Catch it. Old natural Israel, the type. And he looks at old Israel, and he sees in the house, and he doesn't see any of their faults, any of their problems, no matter what they've done, where they've been, none of that. He don't see none of that. All he sees is the blood of that lamb, and he passes over that house. God wasn't even concerned about the lack of spirituality in the home, or the ungodliness, or if they were super religious or weren't, or didn't meet the conditions, or didn't go over here and do that, or weren't busy in some program. God did not look down in there and see all the problems. I'm sure he knew them, but what he saw was the blood. He wasn't even concerned about their problems, their hang-ups, and oh my God, I missed it the other day, and I'm such a mess, and I'll never make it, and my God, what am I going to do? God said, hush! You're under the blood.
Amen.
Turns right around because they're under the blood. They eat that lamb, that roasted lamb. Next thing you know, he jerks them up. And the Egypt and Pharaoh and the guys, they're paying them to leave. Get out here. Take all the money and go with you while you're at it. Please go. Get the hell out of here, man. What's wrong with you? All because of the blood and the lamb. Not because they did or didn't do anything. It was all God's program. They didn't have a thing to do with it. All they had to do was one thing. Just be obedient to the revealed word of God. Yeah. Now we have the reality of the Lamb of God, supposedly in the body of Christ. And they got a more benefit out of a natural barnyard bah than most of the church gets out of the reality. Now somebody got to help me with it. I've shared with the Lord before. I said, Lord, you got to help me with this. In old natural Israel, the blood of a natural animal saved them from death. And here we got the blood of the Son of the living God. A natural barnyard roasted lamb, so to speak, got them delivered and set free and healed and everything when they fed on that lamb. Here we got the reality, the truth, the true Lamb of God. Help me, Jesus. He said, I am. I'm bringing the overcomers into the reality of the communion of the Lord. I'm going to show them and teach them how to feed on the Lamb of God and the bread and the wine and drink the living water. Folks, if we knew how to do it like we should, you would never see physical death. If that's not true, you can take that Bible and throw it away because it's from the front page to the back. God's the God of the living. And death is not no friend. God says death is an enemy. And it's the last one to be destroyed. So when he saw the blood on the house, it did not matter about their problems. To me, good God Almighty, that is such good news, it makes me want to shout, and on top of that, it makes me want to preach a little bit. It didn't matter about their problems. What mattered was that God saw the blood. He said, now, you're under the blood in the New Testament. No condemnation. Just rest. Enter your rest, like he told them in Hebrews. Enter your rest and allow me to work in your life. Quit trying to do it yourself because you're a miserable failure. And I'm not saying that to put you down or to put you under condemnation. And I'm a miserable failure with you. If Adam could have done it, he'd have done it. He tries to make himself religious. He wants to try to bring forth the Christ himself. He wants all this glory. Adam was a dirt bag and in the dust realm from the beginning. He's a failure from the beginning, so to speak, when he traded off. I don't want to get into that too deep. I'm not putting you down. But if you continue to keep trying to make yourself better, you're going to fail and fail and fail and fail and fail. And there's the word of the Lord for you. You want a good prophetic word? It shall not be all right, but you shall fail again and again and again, saith the Lord. Yea, verily, oops, I did not miss it. You shall truly fail, because you cannot do it, saith God. So now under the new covenant, you've been justified freely by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Justified, and what that means is this. See, if you don't catch this as apostolic doctrine, you will never enter into the fullness of rest, and the Christ will never appear in you in His fullness. Here's the point. Justified means this. Not guilty. What a phenomenal statement. My God, Adam in me says, the hell you're not guilty, buddy. You are guilty too. You are guilty. See, that's the Adamic mind. When I say hell, I'm not cussing. That word means death in the Bible. It's a figure of speech to get some people's attention and break religious barriers. I'm not trying to be ugly or base. He said, you are guilty. Because that Antichrist thing wants to control you. And Jesus says, the chief advocate says, no, you're not. Wonder who we're going to believe. Who did you believe today? Or about yesterday? Or 2 hours from now? Who are you going to believe? Let me tell you who my wife and I believe. I'm going to tell you what I do. Right in the middle, it don't matter. Right in the middle of a dealing of God. See, when these things come up out of you, you need to realize what God's doing. He's setting you free right there. That's deliverance. Yeah. Don't try to push it back under like, oh my God, this can't really be happening. Oh, it's happening. And what Jesus is doing is He's bringing it up out of you. He wants you to see it. Yeah. And just say, Father, thank you. I repent. I repent. I repent. And I believe you. Right in the middle of the warfare, if you want to call it that, or the skirmish, or the wrestling, however you want to understand it, say, Father, thank you. Bless God, I'm free. I may feel like hell, but I'm free. Yeah. Are you with me? Because you are. He said you're not guilty. That's the lovely point of it. Justified means not guilty in the court of heaven. And because we're not guilty, the next thing Father does, which is legal for him. See, this is the thing, the adversary can't fight this because we've got the brief together. Because Father comes and says, Brother Tom, Deanna, brothers and sisters, Father said you're not guilty. And now Father says, because you're not guilty, here's what He wants to do. And it, by the way, it's legal for Him. He wants to give you His righteousness. Oh, but no, if you're under condemnation in a works program, you'll never walk in that righteousness. And Jesus spoke to me in the last 2 days and said this. He said, you tell my people that if they don't walk in my righteousness, they will never come into Philippians chapter 3. Because Paul addressed that. The Lord brought it to my remembrance, called it to my attention. Paul said, it's not by the righteousness that comes by the working of the law, but by the faith
in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Lord's righteousness that causes the power of His resurrection. Read it for yourself. The power of His resurrection to be manifested in you, Sister Lillian. That's what Paul was preaching in Philippians 3. It's not the righteousness that comes by the law. Paul was an expert at that. He was a tremendous lawyer. Are you with me? The appearing of Christ, and you have not really grabbed a hold of this revelation that's being preached right here tonight. And it not only applies to you, it applies to the rest of us. I'm just using you for an example. He said, go ahead and enter into the rest of the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest revelation we're coming into. See, that's part of the great seven thunders that over in the book of Revelation. He told John, don't write about them. I'm going to reveal them to the overcomers. And what he's doing, he's bringing us into this fullness of the understanding of the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ the Lord. And we're going to learn how to feed on the Lamb of God like never before. And it's going to transform us and then transfigure us like never before. See, it's nothing I can do. Even if I want to, my God, I can't. You can't either. Well, I know you're going to use the name of Jesus and do it, but you still can't do it. If Jesus don't do it, it's not going to get done. You're in Romans chapter 7, whether you like it or not. You might as well give up on it, just move on into victory, going in chapter 8. I am now free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's already taken place. And I'm only two verses from chapter 7, where I was a miserable mess. But in two or three verses, my God, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. In just a couple of verses, my God. Here I was. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And then the last verse of chapter 7, I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's he saying, Brother Sidney? It's already done by the cross. And there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For what? Oh, my God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. God Almighty, it's already taking place. Nothing else has to be done. Rest. Tell somebody you need to rest. This is called ministering to the temple. Uh-huh. So watch what he does. Now watch. He says, they shall take of the blood, verse 7, and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses when they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire. So we got to roast. It's a type of the cross. You know that. So if we're going to serve lamb to the church, we need to make sure we cook it. Hey, folks, make sure we're serving something scripturally correct called divine order. He says, and unleavened bread and the bitter herbs, they shall eat it. And eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water. Don't water it down. That's what's wrong with the gospel now. They've watered it down to the place there's no power in it. Watered down. God help us. But roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof, and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And listen to this. And thus you shall eat it with your loins girded. He said, I want you to be able to move. You're going to be girded in truth. Your shoes on your feet. Preparation to gospel of peace. Your staff in your hand. There's your authority. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. He said, man, when you learn to eat this thing, you better get ready to roll. This is the type. You better get ready to rock and roll, as they say. God's going to be moving. The progressive flow of God inside of you. That's what this is talking about. Do you realize the natural blood of a natural barnyard creature kept those people from dying? We can't even get that done in the church now. Most Christians still going via the grave. Dearly beloved, those things should not be according to the scriptures you carry around. One of the biggest lies of the church. Well, you know, every man's got to die. That's not what the Bible says. Preachers say that. But Jesus didn't say that. And I'm being foolish with you. I can prove it. I hope I'm not a fool in the natural. I may be a fool for Jesus, but I got news for you. When we're presenting the case, we got chapter and verse for it. Given time, we qualify every jot and tittle. So you see, here's the blood of a natural animal delivers them from death. Catch this. It didn't deliver them. This is what's wrong with the church. I'm trying to help somebody. And when you share with your friends, here they are delivered from death. But you know what? It didn't deliver them from Egypt. Well, you know, I believe in getting delivered from death now, but you know, I got all my I got everything wrapped up in Egypt here. You want me to give up everything, the property too? God, I got all my stocks and bonds and everything. I got my all this stuff, and you got to leave Egypt? That's where all my businesses are, man. What? What? We're talking about a spiritual principle. I'm trying to use something in the natural to show you something. It wasn't the blood that delivered it from Egypt. It was water baptism. When they were baptized into Christ. That's what cut Pharaoh off. We'll see a whole lot of the church. Oh, they've been dunked. We dunk you once, poof, we dunk you twice, poof, we dunk you three times, da 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 da. And they give them up out of the water, and they're just all wet. But they have no more revelation of what just took place and the finished work of the cross. The death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, they have no idea when they were dunked once, twice, three times, 10 times, I don't care. That what really happened was, when Jesus died, you died. He didn't just die for you. If that's the case, we still got you around. The case is he died as you. See, the justice has been served, and the demand of the law has been fulfilled. But see, he not only died for you to fulfill all that and take care of it, he died as you. So now, you got a whole new nature. That's help me understand water baptism now. So in that case, what if I wanted to be water baptized and we didn't have any water? Well, I wonder if you could just fake it till you make it, so to speak, and just grab the revelation and say, I baptize you in Jesus' name. What would be wrong with that? Because that nothing in the water, unless the Spirit empowers what's going on, is a revelation inside of us. Right. It's like taking communion. Oh, we don't have any juice or crackers. Well, how about a banana and light bread? I'm not being ugly now. I'm not being quote sacrilegious or whatever that terminology is. Are you with me? If the Spirit don't do something with the emblems, what do you got? Just some emblems. And that's what most of the church has got now, just some emblems. They don't have real communion. This is communion. You're feeding on the Christ tonight. He's manifesting himself. He's been manifesting himself all night long in different manifestations, and we've been feeding on him. So he not only died for you, he died as you. So now we don't have you around no more. You've been justified freely by the blood of Jesus. So he said, I want you to eat it in haste. He said, be in order. Your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So God did that. He passed through. Just check verse 23 of the same chapter. For the Lord will pass through tonight to smite the Egyptians, Moses is telling them. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side post, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. The revelation that the natural blood of this barnyard lamb saved these people from death, it absolutely astounds me. And they ate the roasted lamb, and what the Bible says, there wasn't an infirm. I'm repeating it because we need to hear it. There was not an infirm or a cripple or a sick or whatever person, a lame one amongst them when they left Egypt. God healed the whole crowd when they had a barbecue roast lamb dinner. And that's the point that he's bringing us to, church. Here we've got the reality, the absolute, the Lamb of God, and the church has no grasp on the revelation of the Christ in us. And Paul was preaching, we got to discern the Lord's body because I need desperately to be able to come to you and for you to feed me the Lamb of God, the bread, the wine, and the living water from the rock that's inside of you. I can't get it out from outer space somewhere. The garden paradise is inside Brother James and Renee. I've got to come to the garden and feed. I've got to discern the body of Christ. I need you. You've got to give me your life, Christ.
Not just us sitting in a room somewhere and have some grape juice and a cracker. And it sounds like I'm standing on that real hard. I'm not against grape juice and a cracker. The dog needs to get saved. Thank you.
It's like grape juice.
First Corinthians, please. Let's just go there. Y'all all right? We got 5 more minutes, I think. Who'll give us 5 more minutes? Seriously, 5, 10, 15. Hey, 20, 25, 25, 30, 35, 45. There you go. 1 Corinthians. Now, my question to you is this. Since we do have the reality, why in the church doing more good with it? Because they got some scripture, but they don't have the life. They don't have the revelation of it. Hi, brother. No, you're all right. Yeah. Praise God, you're all right. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Y'all here? Now, this is going to get tight. See, that's why I'd like... I'd get in some of these places, and I challenge these brothers. I'm saying, hey, you got the true Lamb of God. Why are people still sick and dying and all this? What's happening here? Old natural Israel did better than that with a barnyard lamb. What's something not right here, and God's not missed it. It's either watered down, it's served raw, they're out of order, something's not happening right. They don't have, especially don't have the revelation of the communion of the Lord. They don't have that. We're getting it by His grace and mercy. We're getting it. I know I'm getting it by His grace and mercy. And I'm going to get the rest of it. I made my mind up. My face is set like a flint towards Jerusalem. Chapter 11, verse 24. Verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake and said, take, eat, this is my body. This ties in with John chapter 6. Now, you know what's interesting? We've done some teaching on this, and after it was over, we had grape juice and a cracker. And boy, you talk about having a memorial. Woo. Now we're into something. Now we got something that really means it, because we got more revelation by the Christ in us. He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. I'm putting you back together again for one thing. He said, this do in remembrance of me, that I was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me, my appearing in you, what I accomplished on the finished work on the cross. Do it in remembrance of me, the finished work of the cross. That means you can rest. You can rest. God's going to have His way in your life whether you like it or not. It may take Him a little bit longer in some cases, but He's still going to do it. You'll go to Nineveh one way or the other, hopefully the easy way. Come easy, come hard, but you're going to come. See, the finished work of the cross is one of the greatest revelations the church is going to ever come into. Brother Smith, what's God doing now? Well, last time I checked, He's resting. He's resting. That's what it says. Well, I know He's doing some things in the process of resting. He's bringing the spoken word already to pass, but He's resting. It's already been set in motion. He don't have anything else to do. The cross took care of it. See, you guys, you know, I know who I'm preaching to in here tonight. I'm preaching to some of my peers and my friends and people that are got some things under their belt as far as spirituality. But I'm really ministering to you on this because I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in this room needs more of this revelation.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Me included, my wife included. We need this. We need to hear in John chapter 5 the voice of the Son of God like we've never heard it before when He speaks to us, because when He spoke to you in Passover, you came into the kingdom of God. Boy, just like the kingdom manifested in you, the light of God. He spoke to you with His voice. You came into Pentecost. And now we're hearing Him speak to us in tabernacles. Well, see, you're going to hear His voice at such a high level that He's going to take totally. When you hear His voice at this level, mortality will leave your body. Because it'll be all Him then. There won't be no mortality in there. There won't be room for none. Yeah. So He says, "This do this in remembrance of me." What does that mean? And what I've already done on the cross. I've already done this.
Well, now, Jesus, you've got to help me. Help my unbelief. Because evidently, your fair-haired boy here don't believe like he thinks he does sometimes. Me, God? Yeah, you. Help my unbelief. Because he said, all things are possible to those that believe. So evidently, some of us folks, now not all, I know there's a few, but most of us probably don't believe at the level we think we're believing at. We might be agreeing with it. I don't know if we believe in it or not. Because usually what you believe in, really believing, you receive it. You're walking in it. Your belief level. I mean, you pretty much can look at people and see, look at their lifestyle and where they're at and how they're going and flowing and everything. And you say, well, that's about a level 4, 5, or 6, or 10, whatever it is. I mean, you can look at, what's there is being manifested. It's not nothing super, I can't figure this out. It's such a deep mystery. No, it's not. It's like what you see is what you got. Except, of course, on Sunday morning. When people come to church with their smiley, precious, wonderful Jesus face on, and everything's marvelous and wonderful. Hallelujah. How you doing? Oh, praise God. Everything's fine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Depending on what group you're with. Some of them it's like this. And others are, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it sounds like I'm making fun, and I am. Because I think it is funny myself. I think you should have fun in the kingdom. I'm not being ugly. I'm just saying that's the way people are. And what you see is what you got. And you need to be honest with yourself. Honest with yourself. And don't you dare be under condemnation. Because if you are, you're holding back the working of the cross in you. Y'all still with us? I'm not putting the brethren down. I know we're all being delivered from this religious mess. We all are. Different groups are at different levels, and that's all God's business. It's their order. That's the way they're doing things. And God will even use that in the second grade. Or third grade, or whatever it is. The progressive flow of God in our lives. So he said, take and do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Now I want you to tie this cup in, for you Bible scholars. I want you to tie that cup in. We're not going to preach it tonight. But tie that cup in where James and John, or John and James, come to the Lord with their mother. And to get the mama to do the talking. And say, Lord, go ahead, Mom, go ahead. Go ahead, Mama. Jewish mama. I can just see it now. And she says, Lord, I got something to ask. What is it? Well, I want my two sons to sit, one on your right hand, one on your left, when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus said, well, I can't give. That's not a gift that I give, but it's prepared for those that are going to get it by my Father. I'm paraphrasing just a little bit. He said, there's some requirements involved in that. I can't just give it. It's prepared for the overcomers. And I want you to see and he says, well, can they drink of the cup that I'm drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? They said, oh, yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we can do that. Yep. And I want you to see part of that is understanding the finished work of the cross. I want you to tie those cups together. It's not something Jesus gave. It wasn't a gift. It was prepared for those that were going to receive it by my Father or of my Father. Are y'all with me? I want you to see the cups. That's very important. He said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. What I did when I shed my blood. Let me put you back together again so you can really grab this revelation. My body and my blood. That's what we should be feeding on. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Listen, in the remembrance of the Christ. I know it's late, and he's laid a lot of word on us. He's almost through, so hold steady. Do this in remembrance of me, what I've already done in you. Listen, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show, write the word manifest right there. You do manifest the Lord's death till he comes. What does that mean? When you have this revelation, you are manifesting what his death accomplished as he appears in you. Not him coming and standing on the planet. He can do that anytime he wants to, Sister Lillian, can he? He is God. He's already done that, still doing it. He's still appearing to people, Sister Karen, doesn't he? He appeared to the apostles after the resurrection. He's appeared to people before. Him appearing in his resurrected, glorified body, second coming, the word second coming is not even in the Bible. So let's grow up. He can appear anytime he wants to in his resurrected, glorified body. What we want him to do is appear in his fullness inside of us since he's in here. So he says, you're showing my death till I come. Come where, Sister Janet? Inside of you. When you have this revelation of feeding on the body and the blood of the Lamb, drinking the living water. He said, living water out of the rock, the smitten rock. Well, he was smitten on the cross. We've got to learn to drink that water. Eat the roasted lamb. Eat the roasted lamb. Eat the light bread. Eat the manna. And you won't have snakes in your backyard. That's wonderful news to me. People with demon problems, I got news for you. You talking about some big time deliverance? Feed them manna. The true manna from heaven, and all the devils will leave. They're on the wrong diet. They're on this religious Babylon Alice in Wonderland mess. No wonder they don't get free. But the reason the serpents, the fiery serpents, came in amongst the children of Israel was because the Scripture says they loathed the light bread. They wanted flesh. Hey, we don't mind a little bit of truth. You water it down some. You know, cook it with water. Cook it with water it down. But we want flesh. We want flesh around here. We want to be carnal-minded or meat-headed. And God says, you want some flesh? I'll give you so much flesh you'll be blowing it out your nose for you through. That's what they wanted. They wanted to be carnal. Well, people that want to be carnal, they never will come into the Christ. They never will. They never will come this till God changes them. Are you still with me?
Yes.
So he said this. He said, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, not understanding the revelation, not understanding the revelation of the finished work of the cross, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord, unworthily. What's he saying to us? Unworthily. Now, he's going to tie this into, this is so important, it's apostolic doctrine. He's going to tie this into rightly discerning the body of Christ. Oh, I'm going to take communion, but you know what? I can't handle a Jesus spirit like this. I'm just taking of the body and the blood, the finished work of the cross, the revelation of the bread and the wine, all of that, the blood and the body, all of that. I'm doing that unworthily now because I'm having a problem. I'm rejecting the Christ sitting right in front of me. Are you? I can handle it here, but it's immediately they're putting themselves under a curse. That's what it says. Watch. He said, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. That don't mean sit down and say, well, you know, I missed it today. Forgive me, Father. To be sure, God's a whole lot bigger than that, Tom. Since we've already been justified freely by the blood of the Lamb. I tell people, you're forgiven before your knees hit the floor, man. That's how great God is. The sisters sang about the love of God. Now, what a beautiful song that was. The love of God. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself. Here it is, not discerning the Lord's body, not discerning the bread and the wine or the word and the spirit that is sitting in front of me tonight. I'm going to read it to you again. I could tell you some stories, buddy, about things that go on in the body of Christ as we travel the country. Oh, God help us. God help us. No wonder God has not allowed this revelation to be released like he wants to. But see, if it worked for natural Israel at the level it did there, can you imagine if we were flowing in the fullness of this, what would be happening in our lives? My God, my God, my God, we got the true Lamb of God on the inside of us. And we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, my God, and filled with his Spirit, my God, my God. He said this, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation, that's a strong word in the King James Bible, it's talking about judgment, to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, not seeing and understanding the Lord's body sitting in front of me, the bread and the wine sitting in front of me, the lamb sitting in front of me, the living water from the smitten rock that's on the inside of the body of Christ, the corporate Christ, sitting right in this room. If I don't discern that correctly, when I look at you, if I see your problems, that's Antichrist and it's Adam. When I see you, the only thing I see, dear sister, is the Christ. I see somebody that's been justified freely by the blood of the Lamb, and I'm not one bit concerned about anything in you that's not just in perfection just yet. What I'm looking at is the Christ, and he's going to handle the rest of it. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Not discerning, not understanding, not seeing the Lord's body. For this cause, because of this, many are weak and sickly among you, and many have died or sleep.
Now, what do you think? Somebody wrong here, Sister Lillian, and it's not our Father God, is it? Somebody wrong here, Deanna, Sister Deanna, Brother Tom, Brother Doug and Karen. Somebody wrong here, but it's not our Father. Here the apostle is addressing the situation that's rampant around us right now. Rampant. And the church is kidding itself if they don't invest up and admit it. They're lying to themselves. They're not even lying to God no more, so to speak. Are you with me? For if ye would judge yourselves or ourselves, we should not be judged. If we go ahead and do what we're supposed to do. And say, you know what, Father? That's right. I haven't been rightly discerning the body of Christ. I've been looking at people under judgment. I've been looking at them through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I've been looking at them through the Adam mind. I haven't been seeing the Christ in them. I look at them, see their faults. And God says, isn't that amazing? I look at them and all I see is my Son, Jesus Christ. Because I've already handled the sin problem. There's not no sin problem no more. Sin's already been taken care of. I don't care what you see out there. I don't care what other thing you might think of. Some kind of kingdom's going to rise up and the Antichrist is going to take over. I got news for you. Daniel the prophet said there is no end, listen to this, to the increase of his kingdom. And Daniel the prophet, that book's already been fulfilled and we're living it right now, Brother Sid. That prophet said this by the Spirit of the living God. He said, and there will never be any other kingdom. That's the only kingdom. There aren't no more except our Father's. That's the bottom line. So when we look at each other, what do we see? Do we see our problems? We say, oh, you know how they are. Or, oh, they're a leg of lamb people. We're lamb chops. Too bad. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Well, we're not feeding on that part of the body of Christ. We got to feed on the corporate Christ. Well, but did you see what they did? Who cares? Are you their Savior? I'm wondering. What? Help me. I'm not being foolish with you. I know you're beyond that. But what we do is, instead of looking at somebody and judging righteous judgment does this. Looks, oh, there's a problem. Righteous judgment reaches down and brings forth the answer, the Christ in them, to take care of that problem. We're not so concerned about, oh my God, the problem. Oh God. You know what? I'm excited about the answer. Whoa, God, Jesus Christ by His Spirit is going to take care of it. Hallelujah. Oh, I got this big problem. Oh, but we got a great big Jesus, the Christ. Oh, God, He's in all of us. He's a corporate man now. Not just one son, many sons and daughters. Oh, my God. I want to feed off what's inside there. I want to feed off that. Because I know that immortality working in you is swallowing up anything of the mortality realm. Anything that's of death, hell, and the grave in you is being swallowed up by the life of Christ. And I want to feed off the life. If it can swallow that up, you think it can swallow up some things in me? If it's working in you, you want to work in me? Why don't you share it with me? Why don't we have communion? Why don't we do what Paul says do right here? For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That's enough. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. It didn't say we were punished, it said we were chastened. That we should not be condemned with the world or the cosmos system. It's for our own good, for our good. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. That's the scripture. That's what the Bible says. And I'm really serious about this. I want you to get up off this condemnation mess. If I am a father in the body of Christ, I'm not saying I am one, but if I am one, and if I have any authority that's been delegated to me by the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can use it correctly and rightfully, which I hope I can by His grace, I want to father you real good, and I want to tell you, I want you to get up off the condemnation, the guilt, and all the other mess, because there is none. You're being lied to. I'm telling you, as one of the advocates that work, one of the lawyers in this great firm that work for the chief advocate, I know the man, and he's assured us that you're being lied to. So we've come to present the truth, and you don't have to be the judge. The judge has already taken care of it. See, I can say, well, you be the judge. No, you can't be the judge. The truth is the judge has already decreed it, declared it, so the point is just receive it. Get up off this other stuff. You've been justified freely by the blood of Jesus. Just rest in the finished work of the cross. submit to it. Say, Father God, thank you that I am free and I am resting. There's not nothing I can do. I don't have to do nothing. All I do is agree with you, work with the Holy Spirit. Father God, thank you. Just cooperate. Thank you. You're bringing forth your manifestation in me. And I am free and resting because you done said I was not guilty. Yeah, but what if people keep, what if they really say, oh, well, I can do what, I'm going to keep on doing what I want to do. Well, you know, if they kept that attitude very long with him working in them, they'll drop all that other stuff. It'll just begin to fall off of them. Well, you tried changing yourself, and that didn't work. You know that didn't work. And the church's been trying to do that for 2,000 years. It don't work. You can't change nobody, and you can't even change yourself. Man, you ever notice how you try to get people to change to meet your requirements? No, no, you would never. You, if that possibly couldn't. No, please, please, that couldn't be. Could it? No. Not here, not here. You know, you'd be okay if you just acted like us. What's wrong with you? God help us. I mean, God help us. Are you with me? So I don't know. Tonight has been different. It's been good, I think, by the Spirit. But I believe that tonight, since he's preached this vein in the realm of ministry, that if you've had problems, you know, like you did earlier with the sister Janet breaking some of that guilt and shame and stuff, see. But if you've had problems in that area, I'm going to tell you this. Condemnation. If you're under that, it violates Scripture. And it will hold back the work of the cross in you. It'll hold back the appearing of Christ Jesus in you. And the thing that you're under condemnation about will never get healed. You'll never get delivered from it because you're carrying the thing. I know you believe the Word. See, this is what's setting you free. The Lord spoke to us this last year and said, tell my people I'm preaching the overcomers into the Holy of Holies. I'm preaching to them. All right? Now, I'm going to help you with a scripture. You don't necessarily have to turn there, but I can quote it, but I want to read it just to be very, very accurate. Chapter 5 of 1 Peter. He said this in verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, wonder why more people aren't exalted. Evidently, they're not humbling themselves under the mighty hand of God and to his revelation, the way God does things. So you can't be involved in a works program and expect to ever get free. Well, if I can just do better. You can't. Please hear me. I love you, but you can't. He can, but you can't. And you've got to quit feeling so guilty because you can't. God knows you can't. And we know you can't. Why don't you admit it? That you know it too now? You can't. Oh, you might change something for a little while, but before you know it, somebody pushes a button. Here comes that old snake again. I thought that rascal was killed. Yeah, but he had babies. My God. Are you with me? Humble yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Here's what he said. Now, here's part of the humbling process. Casting all. Now, I wonder if all means all. No, it couldn't mean all. I mean, just a few. I mean, because, you know, we don't carry this too far. We don't get to be extremism here. Praise God. Casting all your care upon him because or for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Wonder who it is that he can devour. The ones that he can devour, it's symbolic language by the Spirit. Those that do not cast all their cares over on the finished work of the cross, they got a bunch of open doors in their life, and the adversary comes and, oh, you didn't cast this over on the cross? Well, good, I'm coming right in. I'm going to eat your lunch, and while I'm in, I'm going to steal your lunchbox. That's what that says. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for us. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Well, who can he devour? Those that keep their cares, that are under condemnation and guilt and shame, and I'm under this and under pressure, and I didn't measure up. My God, I didn't measure. Listen, and I don't really love myself. I love the brethren, but I don't love myself. I almost want to tell you in the name of Jesus, I'm commanding you to love yourself. I'm commanding you in the name of the Lord. Listen, relax. God will take care of the brethren. Love yourself. Yeah. You're somebody, buddy. Love yourself. Cast all your cares over it so the enemy don't have an open door to come into your life. So, oh, you didn't cast this to the finished work of the cross, huh? Oh, you're going to carry it yourself, huh? You going to work it out? Great, I'll help you. Watch this. Are you with me? That's what that says. That's what Peter's preaching. He's an apostle. He was friends with Jesus. Still is. Are you with me? So tonight, we need to stop somewhere, and this must be a good time to stop right now. So if you're having problems in the areas tonight, listen, there needs to be some ministry in the house tonight. We don't do this all the time. He started the vein out in this vein, the flow out in this vein. But I feel really strong that tonight there's some people here that you've been dealing with the situations he's preached tonight. And you need to leave here after having this communion. You need to leave here different than you came in the house. Because you've had communion tonight. You've fed on the bread and the wine, the body and the blood. You've ate roasted lamb tonight by the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you need ministry in this area with the issues that have been addressed, condemnation, guilt, shame, problems, situations, you can go on forever. If you've had situations that, let me tell you something. When the grace of God comes in an atmosphere like this to deal with it, you better catch the wave. Because, right, James? Because then the grace will deal with it just like it did in the very beginning of the service. Those sisters got in that grace wave, and boy, they got free. They could have waited and still been in their problem. So it's here tonight now. If that's applying to you, all you do is say, well, I need prayer. I want prayer. Whoever it is, let's just do it. Just do it. Well...